Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We're good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for these opportunities that we have to be with one another. We're always thankful for these opportunities that we have to worship God in spirit and truth. You know, November is a time where a lot of times people's mind will turn to thankfulness, and you say, well, you're a few weeks early. Well, really, thankfulness is a Christian trait, one that we should be observing all year round. But certainly, around this time of year, people are thinking about that topic. You know, there's two words in the English language, that phrase in the English language. I mean, it really is a beautiful phrase. It is a beautiful word, you know, thank you. And you start to think about what thank you is. But what is thank you but an acknowledgement of that which is good? And a lot of times I feel like perhaps we forget that from time to time. Don't forget to say thank you. You know, thank you is an acknowledgement of good. It's an acknowledgement of perhaps a blessing. And certainly that is something that a Christian needs to be doing and reflecting on that in their lives. But certainly there are many times and many situations where we forget to say thank you. And for the first part of the lesson, I would like to think about some situations where people do forget to say thank you. Situations that we will perhaps fall into throughout our lives where we might forget to say thank you. And then I would really like to focus on where really God leads the Christian in relation to thankfulness in their lives. So what are some times that you might forget to say thank you, to acknowledge that which is good? And I would say when times are good. You know, I look at the warning that we see in Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Israelites are about to go into the promised land, and Moses is giving them a warning there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. It says, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build, houses full of all good things, which you did not fill, wells that you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. There's a warning here not to forget God. But I want you to think about thank you. What is thank you but an acknowledgement of that which is good? In fact, I would think if you were going to break a thank you down into parts, I'd say the first thing is you have to be able to see the blessing, see that which is good, and then you take the next step and you acknowledge where that good has come from. You have to see it and you have to acknowledge it, and you complete the thank you process. But it's almost like this warning is going out that these individuals are going to be surrounded by good things. They're going to be surrounded by good things. And many of these good things, the Bible is basically saying, I have given to you. You haven't even worked for some of these things. Because when they're going into Israel, it's a land where the cities are already built. A land where it is already fruitful. A land that has a lot of things that are already set up. And God is taking the Israelites, is going to put them into that land. And a lot of these things are already done. When times are good, a lot of times we forget to say thank you. We forget to acknowledge where the good and the blessings come from. And that's something that we have to be mindful of. You know, what happened with the Israelites is I would say they kind of fall. They are warned before they go into the land that, hey, when times are good, when all these blessings are given to you, do not forget God. But yet we see that they do. Well, why? Perhaps it was an expectation. You know, sometimes we have expectations, and once we get something for so long, we almost expect it without really thinking that this is actually a good and a blessing, and really it's a gift, more so than it is something that I have all the time. Certainly in America, I feel like we fall victim to that, as we expect certain things in our American lifestyle, don't we? There are certain things that we expect to be there. And yet when we turn and we look at brothers and sisters in other countries, you start to realize that they don't necessarily have many of the good and things that we just have and we expect, like heat, like air conditioning, you know. We start thinking about these things. And we think about our brothers and sisters in Christ in other countries, we are truly blessed. But a time when people forget to say thank you many times is when they are blessed in that way. Sometimes when people receive gifts for so long, they almost get an attitude of entitlement. If I have received it for so long, I should continue to receive it. But that's not always how things go. And we have to be careful of those attitudes and those things. And sometimes I wonder if people fall into that trap of expecting things that they don't deserve, blessings and good things that have always been in our lives. We've always had them, and we just take them for granted. Do we forget to acknowledge the giver of all gifts? And James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no shadow or variation of turning. Do we have a problem with thank you? Do we have a problem with thank you in good times? You're saying, no, I don't have a problem with saying thank you in good times. But I think that we see that this is a consistent problem throughout the Bible. If you go over to Luke chapter 17, we find some individuals, and it looks like some of these individuals have a thank you problem. They have a problem, maybe they don't have a problem seeing the good that's happened, but seeing the good and acknowledging it, those are the two parts to the thank you. And I think sometimes people struggle with both. Sometimes people can't see the good things in their life, they can't see the blessings in their life, so they never say thank you. They never acknowledge it, because they're like, there is no blessing. But then there's people that can sometimes see the good, but they refuse to acknowledge it. In chapter 17 of Luke, we have these lepers that come into contact with Jesus. And these men have leprosy, and if you had leprosy, you would be an outcast. And we see that from the Old Testament, is if you had leprosy, you're basically separated from everyone. And these individuals are away from Jesus, and they're in verse 13, we see in Luke chapter 17 there, we see that they are asking Jesus to have mercy on them. And Jesus says, hey, go to the priest. Because the priest would inspect them and say whether they have leprosy or not, and whether they would have to be separated from individuals. And it says in verse 14, it says, as they were on their way, as they went, they were cleansed. In verse 15, it says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, where there not ten cleansed, but where are the nine? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. You know, you talk about a good time, you talk about a good day. These individuals had leprosy. They had been separated for a period of time. Now Jesus comes along and says, go to the priest, get inspected, and as they're on the way to the priest, they get healed. Wouldn't that be a good time? You realize that you're healed. You've been healed, you go to the doctor and you realize you don't have cancer anymore. You're cancer free. I mean, that is a happy, exciting, wonderful, joyful time. They could probably see the good, but did they acknowledge the good? See, that's what a thank you is seeing the good, seeing the blessing, but acknowledging the blessing and where it came from. Acknowledging the good and where it came from. But I'd say these 10 lepers found themselves in a good situation, but yet 9 forgot. You know, you can maybe look at this a lot of different ways, but that's 10%. 10% say thank you in good times. Are you part of that 10%? The part of the 10% that can acknowledge the blessings, acknowledge the good, even when everything around you is going well. Sometimes individuals struggle with that. Sometimes I think thankfulness is almost forgotten. Thankfulness is replaced with complaining. Thankfulness is replaced with being ungrateful. Thankfulness is replaced with being unappreciative of the things that are around us. In fact, if you think of the opposite of thankful, I think those are the words that we would come up with. If you said, what is the opposite of a thankful person? We would say perhaps a person that is ungrateful, unappreciative, unthankful. Those are probably words. Ungrateful would be words that we would associate with that individual. And when we see this in the world, it's one of those things where we see it and we're like, yeah, I don't want to do that with my life. But yet, how many times do we perhaps fall into that trap? In Matthew chapter 18, we have that man that's got that unforgivable debt. And he gets it forgiven. And then he has that debt forgiven in Matthew chapter 18. And then he has this other individual that comes to him and has a debt that's way smaller and he won't forgive him. Was that man thankful? I mean, when we read through the text and we find where he's thankful. And not only a thankfulness that lasts. See, that's what we're after. Because some people be thankful just for a quick moment. You know, sometimes I feel like we fall into that trap if we're thankful for a moment, but really I think God teaches us to be thankful for a lifetime. This thankfulness that lasts, this thankfulness that affects our attitude and the way that we think. Because we're looking for the good in life. We're looking for the blessing. Certainly being unthankful is a problem and an issue, and I think we see it throughout Scripture. If unthankfulness is not associated with the side of good and right. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, there's a letter written to Timothy, and it talks about the times and things that are happening. But it gets this list going, and I think that sometimes we just overlook some of the things in the list. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, there's going to be men who love themselves. There's going to be lovers of money. There's going to be boasters. There's going to be the proud, the blasphemers. There's going to be those that are disobedient to parents. There's going to be those that are unthankful. Certainly, that's not a trait that we want to be attributed to us. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, talks about these individuals. It says they're not really acknowledging God in their lives. They're not acknowledging God as the God of heaven and earth. And it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it says, nor were they thankful. Thankfulness is a trait that I think is associated with a Christian. But the question is, do we forget to be thankful? I think one area of our lives where we can forget to be thankful is during good times. But something else, I think, is perhaps we would find in ourselves as we look and we observe ourselves that perhaps not only in good times could we forget to be thankful, but also the bad times as well. I think of the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, if you go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he starts rattling off all these things that he has endured, all these things that he has went through. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, kind of picking up in verse 23, he says, I am in labor more abundant, in stripes more in more measure, in prison more frequent, in death more often, from the Jews 5 times I have received 40 stripes minus 1. And he just goes on of all these things that he has endured. Was Paul a thankful person? Did he let the hard times and all the things that he had to endure affect his thankfulness? In fact, I think if you look at that word thankful, it's almost associated with Paul so many times. In fact, in preparation for this lesson, I, a lot of times I'll just go to the concordance and I'll just look up the word that I'm focusing on or a word that's important in the lesson. And when you look up thankfulness, it's amazing how many times we find it in the context of Paul. Wait, Paul, who has been through so much, who has been in jail, who has been shipwrecked, who has had all these things happen to him, somehow he still has this thankfulness. Paul is not ungrateful. Paul is not unappreciative. Paul, even enduring all of these trials, even in what we would say bad times, he maintains a spirit of thankfulness. In fact, in the same letter that he's writing about all these things that he suffered in relation to his Christian life, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, it says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We're not leaving the letter. We can see his thankfulness. We can see his attitude. And he carries this attitude whenever he came in contact with any Christian. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, he says, I thank my God always concerning you. He's talking about his brothers and sisters in Christ. If you look up that word thanks, you're going to find it again and again and again associated with Apostle Paul. A Christian that endured so much, so many trials and tribulations in his life, but he did not forget to be thankful. He was thankful for others. He was thankful for the church. He was thankful for God. He was thankful for worship. He was thankful for the inspired word and the ability for those individuals to get that word out to individuals. A Christian should be a thankful person. But so many times I think that we find ourselves in that trap. And we think of the trials that Paul went through, but I think sometimes we'll even lose our thankfulness mentality, or our thankfulness attitude, even with perceived trials. Which I don't want to be too hard on these people, but if you go to Numbers chapter 14, we have the Israelites, and the Israelites have gotten out of Egypt, and they have crossed the Red Sea, and they're at the edge of the Promised Land, the Israelites are, and they send in some spies. In chapter 13 of in the book of Numbers, they send in some spies, and the spies go in, and some of the spies come back, and they start giving this report of the land. And they said, look at the giants, look at the land, look at the fortified cities, and they're basically, they're painting the picture. And the people, when they see this perceived trial, they are intimidated by the situation, and in chapter 14 we see some of their response. we see that basically they're refusing to entertain. And they say, what is laid before us in the land is too much. We can't do this. And Moses intercedes for the people. But the Lord gives his response to these individuals in chapter 14, starting in verse 27. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, how long shall I bear with the evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to the entire number, from 20 years old and above, except Caleb and Joshua, the son of Nun. These individuals are saying, we can't go into the land. It's too much. Well, what are they really saying? They say, look at the trials. Look at all the tribulations. Look at all this stuff that we're going to have to endure to get into the promised land. They're complaining. You know, you look in that situation, certainly, we can all get overwhelmed like these individuals did. If we all face trials, we all face tribulations, what would then maybe an appropriate response would be to acknowledge the good that God had already done, that God had brought them out of Egypt, that God had provided for them up until this time. That I think the Israelites were struggling. They were struggling with seeing the good and the blessings and attributing it to God. Instead, they were focused on other things. They were focused on the trials and the tribulations instead of focusing on their allies. Certainly, we have to be careful. And you know, I bring up these examples to kind of show you that perhaps you can relate to these in some way in terms of when we think about thankfulness, when do we forget? We forget in good times and we forget in bad times. We forget all the time, don't we? I mean, it's a problem. And when you start to read the Bible and look at it, it's interesting because the Bible is trying to lead us to this path of thankfulness so that we can be a thankful people, so that we're not an ungrateful people, so we're not an unappreciative people. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 35, it says, but love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. God is kind to the unthankful and the evil. You know what? When I look at that, I realize I fit into both those categories at some points in my life. I fit into the evil category at some points in my life because of my relationship with sin. You know what? I've also fit into that other category, unthankful. Luke chapter 6 and verse 35, it says, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Are we an unthankful people? Certainly, there is a danger here that the Bible is warning about. In good times, you can forget to be thankful. In the good times, but also the bad times, you can forget to be thankful. So how can we be God's thankful people? We start to realize that we do forget to be thankful. We forget to acknowledge the good and the blessings in our life, and not only just seeing the good and the blessings in our life, but acknowledging. Those are the two parts to be thankful. We realize that we can forget to be thankful, and it's a danger that we have to consider. And I think that all of us struggle to some degree, just like so many other Christian traits. Do we have some brothers and sisters in Christ? We talked about another Christian trait last Sunday. We talked about boldness, right? Are there some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, when we think about the boldness scale, we have some brothers and sisters in Christ, we admire their boldness. You know, on the boldness scale, you know, they're like, you know, we have some brothers and sisters in Christ, they're very bold. And then we have some brothers and sisters in Christ that struggle with boldness. Thankfulness, I view as the same. You know, I'm fighting with all of these just as you are. But when I'm thinking of myself as a thankful Christian, where do I fall on the scale? You know, am I moving more towards the thankful, or am I going over more to the ungrateful, unappreciative? Where do we fall on the scale? We don't all struggle with the same thing. And certainly we need to look at this, observe it, think about it, consider it. One of the things the Bible really emphasizes when we become Christians is that our mindset has to change. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things of the earth. When we become Christians, God immediately, He is already, because we've become Christians, He's immediately working on our mindset. He He's trying to take out the world and he's trying to replace it with his word. And it is not an easy process. It's a lifelong process. And one of the areas of our life, I think, is thankfulness. Is that God is working on us. When we become Christians, he's working on us and trying to make us better individuals. I like that word raised in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, if you were raised with Christ, well, what's that in reference to? I turn you over to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. It's talking about baptism. And it says when we're baptized, we're raised in newness of life. And what happens is God wants our mindset to constantly be developing and moving closer to him. Our mind is so important. Our mind is a battlefield. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A lot of Christianity in the New Testament is up here. You know, it talks about, and actually you look at a lot of these teachings, a lot of Christianity is right here. We're not even to look at a woman and have those thoughts. That's a battle of the mind. That's a battle of the mind. So many things are a battle of the mind. And thankfulness, I think, is one of those as well. We have to start, as a Christian, setting our mind on different things. And the world is going to try to pull you back. Pull you back where? To a worldly mindset. Our mind is a spiritual battlefield. And God knows what's best for us. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, God's going to give you the blueprint. I really think he's going to give you the blueprint for thankfulness. Are you ready? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Here's the blueprint for thankfulness. I think we're going to fall short, but here's the blueprint. Finally, brethren, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Well, Kyle, what do you mean? If you look at everything in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, what are all those things? All those things are good. All those things are great blessings. And if we as Christians can see those, the next step is we need to acknowledge those in our lives. You need to acknowledge the blessings of your life. You need to acknowledge the good in your life. And the Bible, Jesus is trying to lead us to be a more thankful people by showing us what we should be thinking about. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And he gives us a long list of categories of where our thoughts should be. He said, meditate on these things. So sad how we give our mind up so easy. I'm not a big Facebook guy. I'm one of those that just scrolls through real quick and I try to move on. I think it's a powerful tool and can be used in good ways, but sometimes I feel like we spend so much time, we kind of have trouble with this verse, because when I look through Facebook or our other popular options, the news, there are a lot of things from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Not on the news. Not on Facebook. I can't find a lot of these things, and if you spend a lot of time there, it can take you to a dark place. And my wife and I have actually had conversations about this. With all the lockdowns and everything, we can't be around our Christian brethren quite as much as we would want to. And where do we find ourselves? We find ourselves with the news. We find ourselves with Facebook. And sometimes it takes you to a bad place. You know, I don't pause too many places on Facebook, but one place I do pause a lot of times is Brother Harvey. As Brother Harvey, he's always posting Bible verses. But one thing Harvey's been doing recently, I call it opposite Bible verses. And when I scroll through, I don't like, but I always read. I just don't like things. I'm an equal opportunity of not liking. I just scroll and read. But Brother Harvey, he does this opposite Bible verse, and I find it to be interesting. It's really changed my perspective on some things. But he'll put a Bible verse and he'll change two words to the exact opposite, and it just really opens your eyes. It's like, yes, the Bible really said that. You know, I mean, it really opens your eyes. But Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, I want to pull a Harvey on it. Because I want to ask you, is your mind more focused on Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, or are you more focused on the exact opposite of what it says? Because finally, brethren, whatever things are false, whatever things are dishonorable, whatever things are unjust, whatever things are impure, whatever things are ugly, whatever things are of bad report, if there is any sin, and if there is anything disgraceful, meditate on these things. Whew. When I scroll through Facebook, a lot of times I get to see a lot more of option two than option one. It's sad that we don't go to the great physician for the obvious answer. He is telling us what to do to be a more thankful people. If you focus on these things, the things that are good, the things that are true, the things that are lovely, the things that are noble, if you focus on these things, you're going to be focused on the good of life, you're going to be focused on the blessings of life, and seeing those things, you're going to have a chance to acknowledge them. But see, we don't have a chance to be thankful anymore. Why don't we have a chance to be thankful anymore? Because our minds have been drugged through the mud. They have been drugged through the news. They have been drugged through Facebook and social media. And we come out, and we're just focused on all the bad of life. And how can you be thankful for the bad? You can't be. Because thankful, by definition, is seeing the good and seeing the blessings of life and acknowledging them. But when our mind goes to those dark places, when we're focused so much on the evil and the bad of life, we find ourselves in not such a good place. When the great physician already gave us the answer for our mental health, focus on those things that are good. Acknowledge those things that are good. Our mind is a battlefield. There's no doubt about that. Now, I don't like to turn to the world too often, but there's been a lot of research actually on gratitude and thanksgiving by psychologists and people in that field. They say it's one of the healthiest of all emotions. Thankfulness. The healthiest of all emotions. Thankfulness. In fact, you know, I don't want to necessarily subscribe something of the world, but sometimes things of the world actually align with the Bible. Sometimes when people are struggling, there's this one thing that I read about. It's called the thank you cure. Where when someone's struggling with such negative thinking, they say, hey, here's your cure. Every time someone does good, you need to acknowledge it with a thank you. Doesn't matter if it's a door. Doesn't matter if it's going this or that or what, you know, any small thing, your job is to just say thank you. So these people go out. There's a little thank you. Okay, gotta find thank you. And they start focusing on good. Because you can't give a thank you, guess what, without focusing on good. And you start to see the good of life. You start to see the little kind things that people are doing for you on your behalf. Are your days filled with thankfulness? Are they filled with complaining and ungratefulness? I think it's a real danger. And it's one that we have to be careful of as Christians. I think almost all of us, to some degree, I think we all struggle with different things. Like you talked about boldness. Some of us all struggle with boldness to some degree. I think when it comes to thankfulness, we all struggle to some degree. The question is where you are and how you can be better. Because God does not want you going through life focused completely on the evil. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't talk about it from time to time, but some people dwell on evil so long, it really takes the joy, the peace, the love, everything beautiful out of life. And that's not what God wants. He wants us to focus on these things that we see in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have life more abundantly. Well, we listen to the great physician. He knows what's best for us. Our life can be more abundant. It can have more joy and more peace if we'll focus on those things which are good. It's impossible to give a thank you without focusing on the good and without focusing on the blessings of life. Let's do a little exercise really quickly. I want you to think of somebody here with us today, perhaps someone right beside you. And I want you to think of that person beside you, that person in this room, and I want you to think of how you could say thank you to them. I want you to think about it. Don't want you to say anything. Don't want you to be forced or anything. I want you to think about somebody in the room and think about how you could say thank you to them. Now, let me try to jump into your mind for just a little bit. If my guess is when you got the person, John Bayless, okay? John Bayless is my person. And you say, okay, I want to thank John Bayless. You know what you started thinking about? All the good things associated with John Bayless. That's the only way you can give him a thank you. You have to think about how John did something good in your life, or how John has blessed your life in some way. A thank you is a good mental process that can take our mind away from the evils of life and focus on the good. You can't give a thank you without focusing on the good, without focusing on the blessings. What a great blessing it is that God has given us a pattern to be a more thankful people. And the pattern is to dwell and to think and to meditate on those things that are good in this world. And sometimes, I think many times because of our news media and social media and everything else, is that the world tries to take us where?
The exact opposite of the Bible.
When I read Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 in reverse, it's almost like, man, that is, I feel like that's my life sometimes. It's like I'm just constantly getting pounded with the negativity. I'm constantly getting pounded with the unjust things. I'm constantly getting pounded with the impure things. When really God's telling me to meditate on those things which are good. When you see good in the world, when you find good in the world, won't you acknowledge it? Won't you reward it with a thank you? You see the good, you see the blessing, acknowledge it with a thank you. And acknowledgement certainly goes a long way. You know, I think that God has really tried to set us up with success. Is when we become a Christian, he says, hey, I'm going to be working on you, I'm going to be transforming your mind. He gives us a heads up that he's going to try to do this, and then he gives us his holy word that we can read it, study it, and try to apply it and become a better person. But I think about worship. He has set us up for success. He has really tried to set us up that we think more positively as we go throughout life. He is building opportunities in our lives to be thankful. Think about it. Prayer. Let's just go through the act of worship. Prayer. Isn't a prayer an excellent time for us to acknowledge the good and the blessings of life and give that acknowledgement where it should be? A lot of times prayers are just big thank yous, are they not? A thankful people. And we have all kinds of Bible that would go along with that. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, if you notice, this is right before verse 8. It says, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. It associates prayers with thanksgiving. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God wants us to be a thankful people. And you know one thing that he told us to do was pray. And you know what pray is almost doing naturally? It is being a thankful person. You have to think about the good things of your life. You have to think of the blessings of your life. And you're going to acknowledge those. Of course, we can go on. What about singing? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wait, praying is a way that we can be tied to thankfulness. Singing is a way that we can be tied and connected to thankfulness. You know, in preparation for this, I ran across this fact that Count Your Many Blessings, we always sing that song. Did you know that? I think I found this, you know, you try to validate something. The writer of that song was blind. Count Your Many Blessings. The writer of the song was blind. Thankfulness. Being able to acknowledge the good and the blessing. Some people can't see the good in their lives. He obviously could, you know. I mean, but you have to look and try to take some time to spot the good and acknowledge it. Try to spend some time to acknowledge the good in your life. Try to spend some time acknowledging the blessings in your life. You think of giving. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, it says it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's almost like God is setting us up for success. When we come together as the assembly, as we come together as the church, God is giving us multiple opportunities to be thankful, to acknowledge the good and the blessings in our lives through prayer, through singing, through giving. And then you think of communion. What is that but remembering a good thing, a blessing in our life, Jesus Christ, and acknowledging that fact. For some of us, it's harder than others, but certainly God is trying to set us up to be a thankful people. In fact, if you try to do a word search on thank and thankfulness, it's one of those words where I'm like, I'm going to spend all day if I try to read all these scriptures. It is truly an idea that is tied to Christianity. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, it talks about singing. It talks about thank you twice. In verse 15, when it starts, it talks about being thankful that we are in one body. It says you're in one body. Be thankful. Be thankful for the church. And then it says, whatever you do in word or deed, it says, give thanks to the Lord throughout your life. Many people in the world, as they go out to their lives, they're focused on everything but the blessings of life. Many people, when they go out into the world, they're not looking for blessings. They're not looking for the good. And if you're not looking for the blessings in this world, and you're not looking for the good in the world, you can't be thankful. But God is trying to point our minds to the right place. He's trying to give us a joy in our life. He's trying to give us a peace in our life. But it's like we try to fight Him every step of the way. He told us the things that we should be thinking on. We're like, no, 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 God, I'm going to think about all this stuff over here. I want to focus on this. And God's like, no, don't focus on that. You'll go to a bad place. Focus on this. And you can have a life of joy. Increased joy. You can have a life of increased peace. You can have a life where you can be thankful for the blessings and the goodness of life. Can you see and acknowledge the blessings that are all around you? Can you take a moment and think of them and try to count them and consider the good that's all around us? Can we acknowledge those things? I really think that Christians should have that attitude. And from time to time, I think we get trapped in the world. We don't get trapped in the world in terms of outside, but we get trapped in the world in here. As we let our mind get locked down and weighted down by things that God told us not to be thinking about. And those things take us many times to a place that we should not. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, it says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thankfulness. Abounding in it with thankfulness. Talking about living the Christian life, being in Christ Jesus, being in the church, being in the body of Christ. It says abounding in thankfulness. It's sad that we go to the negative so much easier than we go to the positive. And I've really tried to take this lesson to heart and think about a lot of things in my life and try to find, you know, reasons to be thankful. I found a couple poems on thankfulness, and I kind of read that. And then I read some more Bible on thankfulness. And I found some things, and I can't remember where it was at now since I was just reading so many different things, but there's this one thing that said, I'm thankful for dirty dishes because it means I'm surrounded by family. You know, you think about that. You think about taxes, right? That's something that people say, oh, no taxes. Well, you think about taxes, that means you have a job, you know. You have a job. You know, so many things in our life, we're so quick to go to the negative, and we won't even for a second try to consider the positive. We won't really try to meditate on those things that are noble, those things that are true, those things that are just. That list that we find in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. But we truly have reason to be thankful for so many things. I'm thankful for uneventful days. Uneventful days. I've had some big days with big events in my life. I've had things that happen like that change everything, right? We probably all had those. It's like, I can't believe that just happened. What am I going to do? You've had those days. I have too. I'm thankful for uneventful days. I'm thankful for days that I can just, you know, be with my family. I'm thankful for days that I can work and nothing crazy is going to happen. We're thankful for those things. Don't forget to say thankful. Don't forget to say thank you. Because when you go through that process, you're seeing the good of life, you're seeing the blessings of life, and when you acknowledge it, you're doing exactly what God wants you to do, and it puts you in a far better place than that of people that don't. You know, another thing that I'm so thankful for is the opportunity we have to become children of God, to be added to the church. What an opportunity we have. What a thing to be thankful for. And certainly you have that opportunity today, and I'm thankful that you have another opportunity today because we're not always promised those, you know. Are you grateful for the opportunities you've had to come to Christ? Are you grateful for the opportunities you've had to turn your life around? I'm grateful. I'm thankful for those things. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. Perhaps you just have questions. We would love to help you any way that we can. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we ask that please come as we stand and as we sing.